The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, July 25th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And welcome to the brand new Rolla J Studios here at the Buck and Bronco House off of Fremont here in Portland, Oregon. So glad to be in our new studios. As you can see behind us, the new green screen setup is working up quite well. For those of you watching on the webcam, you'll see all sorts of great backgrounds now when we do our different camera shots. Unfortunately, today is also the first day that we start all by myself again. Got no Brian the Red anymore, and I know it's a sad thing, but Brian's out there in spirit, and he wanted me to remind you guys about something very important happening. It's the campaign to end the new Jim Crow, the struggle against racism today. This is happening in Portland at 6:30 p.m. tonight at Portland State University at the Smith Building, room 294. And he wanted me to mention that. I'll put the Facebook event link into our chat room, and anybody out there who wants to get more information on that, you can still see that. Also, folks are asking in the chat room about the Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. No, he won't be doing Red Eyes Reggae Flashback either. We'll be playing replays of the 35 episodes that he's put together so far. And we always have a seat open here for Brian when he's ready to come back, but you know how it is. Gotta go make money sometime. So we'll let him go do that, and we will continue. Also, in breaking news, I just got an invite yesterday to fly to Minneapolis, St. Paul this weekend. I'm taking off Saturday morning to meet with Minnesota Normal. They'll be showing some of my Box Canyon presentation to their board of directors meeting. But more importantly, there is a showing of the movie Breaking the Taboo and a roundtable discussion involving Sir Richard Branson, the billionaire owner of Virgin Enterprises, all those different Virgin companies, and a huge, huge proponent of ending the war on drugs. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I'll get a chance to meet Sir Richard Branson and maybe even get an interview of him that will be printed in High Times magazine. We will see about that. Now, coming up on today's show, got all sorts of interesting stuff for you. Representative Louis Gohmert out of Texas cracks me up today talking about the NSA spying scandal. In our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment, we've got Jamie Haas, retired from the Border Patrol, to talk about the Los Zetas cartels and how capturing their leader doesn't do much but open up a job for someone else. Also, we've got Bago Schwago calling in with the Daily Toker Tunes. We have got a Behind the Headlines we're going to take a look at that I don't recall right off the top of my head. Lots of stuff to go on today, so stay tuned.
We'll be back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, July 25th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. DEA serves search warrants on marijuana storefronts from King 5 in Seattle. Several search warrants involving marijuana storefronts in King, Pierce, and Thurston counties were executed Wednesday, according to the Drug Enforcement Administration. Criminal defense attorney Douglas Hyatt said he was made aware of four raids, quote, "What we heard from a DEA agent that talked to one of my clients that was at the scene was that there were 18 targets or 18 places that they were going to hit," end quote, said Hyatt. In Olympia, Casey Lee said DEA agents raided his clinic, Bayside Collective. Quote, "It's humiliating," said Lee, who told King 5 News the DEA seized documents and about $2,500 worth of marijuana meant for cancer patients. Drug testing bill whizzes through Senate without debate. This from newsobserver.com. The North Carolina Senate and House have agreed to a conference bill that would drug test suspicious welfare recipients and expand background checks on them. House Bill 392 passed in the Senate on Thursday in a 32-4 vote without debate, despite concerns raised in the House on Wednesday that drug addicts might get turned away instead of being encouraged to get help. The bill keeps existing Department of Social Services processes intact. They currently conduct interviews and administer written tests to figure out if an applicant is using drugs. But under the bill, those applicants' county DSS offices reasonably suspect of drug use would need to submit to a drug test in order to receive benefits through the Work First program. Those applying would have to pay for the tests and would then get reimbursed if they test negative. The bill has been sent to the governor for his signature. Who really benefits from illegal marijuana in New Jersey? From Philly.com by Chris Goldstein. The Joint Committee for Ethical Standards at the New Jersey Legislature on Tuesday dismissed a complaint filed against Assemblywoman Mary Pat Angelini, Republican of Monmouth, who had been accused of appearing to benefit from the Garden State's marijuana laws. A law passed last year, Senate Bill 881, forces some of those arrested for drug offenses, including any amount of marijuana, into state-contracted, sometimes custodial, substance treatment programs. A judge must deem the offender to be addicted to cannabis. It started as a pilot program in northern New Jersey. It will cover the entire state in 3 years. Angelini is the executive director of a nonprofit called Prevention First, a company whose mission focuses on youth addiction and even violence issues. While Prevention First does not operate any substance treatment centers, they do provide the training and state certifications required for those who work within those facilities. Prevention First also facilitates directories of drug treatment facilities and options in Monmouth County. The core issue in the complaint was if Assemblywoman Angelini was garnering a personal profit by voting against medical marijuana access, voting against decreasing penalties for adults caught with small amounts of cannabis, and voting in favor of S-881. The Joint Committee concluded that Angelini could express her opinion and vote on the bills because any benefit would be to her entire industry and not her nonprofit specifically. The committee members compared it to a legislator who was a bank executive who sponsored and voted for bills favoring all financial institutions. Prevention First spent more than $1 million in 2011 to pay their staff, consultants, and professional service fees. $91,000 went to its executive director, Mary Pat Angelini, as her salary. Angelini also pulls in the base salary of $49,000 from the state for her part-time gig as an assemblywoman. Colorado's weed problems could spell trouble for marijuana legalization from TheVerge.com. According to an audit released last week, regulators in Colorado's largest city are still struggling to keep up with its booming medical marijuana business. Despite an influx of weed tax revenue, local agencies remain understaffed, underfunded, and woefully disorganized. Records on licensed vendors are incomplete or inconsistent, and oversight is spotty at best. As the report notes, Denver officials don't even know how many weed dispensaries are currently in operation or where they're located. Team Hemp House launches drive to build first Colorado house made of hemp products from westward.com. Hemp advocate Jason Love has a new endeavor, Team Hemp House, the goal of which is to build a hemp demonstration house in Colorado. On Monday, Team Hemp House launched an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign to raise $350,000 in 60 days. That money will go toward purchasing the approximately 3 acres of hemp needed to build the house. Ideally, the hemp would be grown in Colorado, processing the hemp into building materials such as hemp concrete, securing a building site, contractors and architects, and paying staff to oversee the project and make sure the house adheres to building codes. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, July 25th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the state of Utah, where their concealed firearms permits are recognized in more states than any other in the United States. How does this conflict with medical marijuana laws in some of those states? We'll tell you when we come back. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be back right after this.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Get it, do you? All right, let me make this as clear as I possibly can. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Reaper Man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This is a Russ Belville Show news alert. Whatever you do, don't smoke pot. You don't want to turn out to be a loser like Olympian Michael Phelps, actor Jack Nicholson, singer Miley Cyrus, rocket scientist Dr. Carl Sagan, pop star Rihanna, actress Cameron Diaz, country legend Willie Nelson, President Barack Obama, Cy Young pitcher Tim Lincecum.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? Have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? If he says he swam to China and he sells you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that Reaper Man.
And over 100 million other Americans.
Have you ever met funny Reaper Man? If he says he walks the ocean and he...
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. It's 14 after. And in today's piece, I wanted to bring up the Second Amendment. This is something very near and dear to many of us here in this country, should be near and dear to all of us in this country. It's a constitutional right. And I saw this story come across from the Salt Lake Tribune in Utah. We don't do a whole lot of stories on Utah, but here's one. In Utah, it's your marijuana prescription or your concealed gun. And this highlights something that we've covered on this show more than once, and that is, as a marijuana consumer, you have to choose between marijuana and your Second Amendment rights. Most of the penalties that accrue from getting busted with pot, whether you're growing it or just smoking it and possessing it, oftentimes double when you have a firearm. Even if it's a legal, perfectly legitimate firearm in your possession, if you've got drugs as well, that can be big, big trouble. So this is something I didn't know about Utah, and that is that its concealed firearms permits are recognized by 31 states in the United States. That's about two. That's right. About 60% of the United States, you can go with a Utah concealed weapons permit and it will apply in that state. That's the concept we call reciprocity when we're talking about medical marijuana laws, right? Well, it applies to gun laws as well. There is reciprocity for Utah's concealed permit. The problem is that in those 31 states, eight of them have medical marijuana. So, if you've gone to Utah, to, you know, you're from California or, you know, Oregon or Washington, wherever, you've gone to Utah to pick up a concealed weapons permit just because you know it will be, you know, valid wherever you travel. This is something a lot of people don't think about, is if you're a person who values carrying a firearm, if that's something that's important to you and you believe is your right, it's difficult to travel from state to state. Every state has different laws. Some states are more strict than others. Colorado's become incredibly strict in the wake of the Aurora shootings. But this is difficult for people. They got to figure out, you know, which states they can go to. So getting a concealed permit from Utah is a valuable thing for them because it allows them to travel, like I said, 60% of the United States, 31 states, over 60%, right? Well, this is the problem for people that have medical marijuana, because under the Federal Gun Control Act, Utah can deny or revoke your concealed weapons permit if you have a medical marijuana recommendation. And note to the Salt Lake Tribune editors, it's not a prescription for marijuana. It's a recommendation. No state has prescriptions. That's not true. Actually, Georgia has a law from 1980 that allows for the prescription of medical marijuana. Bet you didn't know that. Only thing is, as soon as you write a prescription, in swoops the DEA, throws the doctor into prison and stops anyone else from doing that. So it's a moot law. Anyway, I digress. On the Utah situation, they don't keep any records on how many people have been rejected. But according to this report in the Salt Lake Tribune, there have been people who, in addition to sending in their identification to get their concealed weapons permit in Utah, also included proof of their medical marijuana use, their doctor's rec, their medical marijuana card. And normally, I mean, you might think that's a stupid thing to do, but I think a lot of times what happens with the marijuana community is we're very, very eager to follow laws. And as soon as we become medical patients, a lot of us are like, oh my God, we're legal. And you want to proclaim it to the world and you think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof and you finally have your rights recognized. You got an exception from criminal prosecution. That's it. You can still be legally discriminated against. And in the case of these gun laws, legally discriminated against because you've got a prescription, I'm sorry, recommendation for marijuana. Now, that doesn't apply to people that have prescriptions for anything else. Even the heavy-duty opiates out there, like oxycodone, are not barred from a concealed firearm permit unless they're suspected of abusing the oxy, right? If you're getting it illegally, maybe they can ban you. But if you're getting your regular prescription from your doctor and everything's on the up and up, you can still have your concealed weapons permit. Now, in Oregon, where I'm coming to you from, we're not one of those states that recognizes the Utah gun permit. We've got stricter laws. But if you get your Oregon concealed weapons permit, the state of Oregon will allow you to have your medical marijuana card. It's perfectly okay. This was challenged. Some sheriffs in some of the pot-hating counties went and denied or revoked the licenses from some of these medical marijuana patients, some of whom live in these very rural, remote areas where they need firearms, not just to protect them from, you know, a home invader or somebody who wants to rip their plants, but freaking bears, man. There's critters out there they need these guns for in some cases. I don't know they need them concealed necessarily, but you get my point, right? Very rural people. The people who are disabled and growing marijuana, I think, would be some of the ones who most are in need of personal protection for a firearm. But this went all the way up through the Oregon Supreme Court. One of our friends of the show, Leland Berger, was the attorney who argued this. And in 2011, they ruled that medical marijuana cardholders can't be denied a concealed carry permit. And so in Oregon, your rights under the Second Amendment are protected. Now, these sheriffs, as if they hadn't spent enough money trying to sue to make sure that pot patients couldn't have a gun, took it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And thankfully, the United States Supreme Court refused to hear the case in 2012, letting the Oregon Supreme Court ruling stand. Your gun rights are safe in Oregon. All right. And that sound means it's time for a break. We got the brand new, you know, I gussied up for the new studio. I even cleaned the bong. Wow. It's a new day, folks.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Fun, fun, fun.
Mm. Don't let him down.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah. Just like that, baby. Don't stop. I like it. You like it, baby? Yeah. Feels good, right?
Feels right.
Big Daddy thinks.
Buggy, rollery, rollery,
rollery. Don't let him down.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for the Daily Toker Tunes, and I'm glad you enjoyed the shorts. It's one of the nice things about having the new studio here. The bedroom is right next door. I can be business up top and party from the waist down. Hey, we got Bago Schwago on the line here for our Groovin' Thursday. What's up, man?
What's up, man? Yeah, I like the shorts, too. I have to say, I don't know if your legs are wider than mine, or we should have a competition next time we get together.
But. I think so. I've got that healthy Pacific Northwest fish belly white going on, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, you probably don't get half as much sun as I get down here, so I probably would win. But, man, you got some white legs, bro.
Well, thank you, man. I embrace my whiteness. I'm not white. I'm melanin impaired.
Yeah, a lot of my friends used to say I'm very similar to Powder. Remember that movie, Powder?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So a lot of times I get that recognition when I take my shirt off, because that doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, so. I see. All right, man. So we got some great hip-hop music here for our Daily Toker Tunes. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, this guy, it's one of the songs I've kind of just had in my stash. I'm running low, so if anyone has music to send in, please do. Always like new music. But this guy goes by the name Bobby Bills. His real name's Brian Bonilla. He's out of Brooklyn, New York. He got into the hip-hop music thing, going to the competitions of passing the mic at the age of 15, and he began to familiarize himself with the music. He started practicing a lot in his uncle's basement, and he actually didn't start taking it serious until the age of 22. And this is his song Kush, and it kind of fits, and it kind of reminds me of a video game for some reason. You'll see when you hear it.
All right, this is Bobby Bills, Kush. Blowing talk to you push. Later.
Later, man.
Bobby Bills, so high, yeah, so high, so high, so high. Yeah. Homie, you can take a look in the sky, see me floating in a cloud of that Kush. So high, blow it sour, flipping pies, getting pussy, cause I'm fly, getting fried on that la 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 la. Sipping potion, getting high on that kush, kush. Got me blown out my mind on that kush, kush. Got me gone, getting fried on that la 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 la. Eyes red, I get blazed off this cushy. Push me higher to the sky, throwing flames on that bushy. Lighting up something to get me swooshy will be that cushy thing. Nothing less than haze blazing. You playing, I'm a ring and tangin'. For that fire biffy to lift me up off this planet dangling. Haters wanna hang the man and bury me beneath the sand. But I rise like Christ, they just Peter Pan. I'm trying to get rice, I'm trying to see them grams. Flow packing dough, stacking, I be on my money shit. Green, gold, purple fire. Smoke it in some honey dip. Watching nice. Shorty honey nice. Dip. Getting me some money grips. Money flip. Taller than a bowl of 600-ish. You on your bum and shit. Knock it off. Stop it all. Or get dropped just to top it off. Gotta get a pot to pour cheddar in. Get a bin for now. Till we floating on piles of Benjamins. Till I die, shine like a king. You surprised to get it in. But don't be shocked if I pop while you on your medicine.
Watch out.
I ride the wave like I was surfing on the ocean. And stay blazed, raise your L up if you toting. Take a look in the sky, see me floating in a cloud of that kush. So high, blow it sour, flipping pies, getting pussy, cause I'm fly, getting fried on that la 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 la. See me floating on a cloud of that kush, kush. Sipping potion, getting high on that kush, kush. Got me blown out my mind on that kush, kush. Got me gone, getting fried on that la 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 la. Got me blown. Now my mind in the zone on the grind. About the bone with a dime. Shorty grown and she fine. She alone on the time. So I told her she mine. Had a break up with a man, cause he won't let her shine. She so cold with them thighs. She a pro when she ride. I approach from behind. Make a moan then I slide. On the road with my slimes. Got me gone getting fried. On that lime smell like pine. Have a toast with some wine. As I float in the sky. Sip a strong on the side. Shorty dome got me ride. Bubba Kush, granddaddy, yeah, that strong got me wide. Smoking bomb, got that fire. Oh shit, Master Kush, that's what I'm on when I vibe. Shit, I'm gon' stay alive. Bitch, I'm known to survive on my own, cause I flow just as long as the tide. Waves form, so I dive in the ocean, cause I'm floating on that potent like I'm rowing on a boat. See me rise. Take a look in the sky, see me floating in a cloud of that Kush. So high, low as sour, flipping pies, getting pussy, cause I'm fly, getting fried on that. La 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 la. See me floating on the cloud of that kush, kush. Sipping potion, getting high on that kush, kush. Got me blown out my mind on that kush, kush. Got me gone, getting fried on that la 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 la. Take a look in the sky, see me floating in a cloud of that kush. So high, blow it sour, flipping pies, getting pussy, cause I'm fly, getting fried on that la 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 la. See me floating on the cloud of that kush, kush. Sipping potion, getting high on that kush, kush. Got me blown out my...
Statistics show that 40% of all kids who smoke marijuana live in the city. Guess where the other 60% live?
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belleville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and our next guest has been on our show before, and we're glad to have him back. It's Jamie Haas, a former Immigrations and Customs Enforcement Border Patrol agent and now a speaker and presenter with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Jamie, welcome back.
Thank you, Russ. I appreciate you having me on, as always.
How your expertise is required for this story that, you know, I actually didn't cover this in our news story when it came up. I didn't cover it in our news headlines because to me it was just like making a post on monster.com for a job opening. Can you tell us a little bit about this Mexican Navy capture of the Los Zetas leader?
Yeah, I sure can. He was captured a week ago from this past Monday. The Mexican Marines, they're one of the most solid outfits that we have, you know, one of the ones that, who aren't corrupt down there. Mm-hmm. They were finally able to take him out. His name is Miguel Trevino Morales, Z-40. I've been following this thing since probably 2008, and he's by far the most, you know, vicious leader that we've seen get taken out. He's responsible for so many of the mass killings, the hangings, killings of journalists. You know, he's responsible for so much. So I am really happy to see him go, but like you said, you know, it is a job opening, and right now, actually, Mexico has been, within the past 2 days, 3 days, getting really bloody. There's 28 people have died in 2 days, so we're seeing the power vacuum start to take place right now.
Is there any possibility this could lead to a split of Los Zetas, or is it just going to continue to grow?
I think we're going to see Los Zetas, we're going to probably see them kind of dissolved into factions of the Gulf Cartel and the Sinaloa Cartel. Chapo Guzman, leader of the Sinaloa Cartel, he's obviously the most notorious drug lord. He's obviously going to make a huge buy for the Northeast Corridor of Nuevo Laredo, where Trevino controlled. So we could see, you know, a lot of tension, but I don't see the Zetas being able to carry out the infrastructure of that organization without Trevino. He was such a he was a dynamic leader. You know, he led by force. We're talking about a multimillionaire who still went out and decapitated people and had his army behind him, his legion of people watching him do it. So I don't think they have the leadership anymore. So they're probably dissolved. You know, they'll get splintered into the other cartels.
And for folks listening that might not know about the narco politics of Mexico, we've basically got Coke and Pepsi in the Sinaloas and the Gulf, and the Zetas are what, RC Cola?
Yeah, Mountain Dew, maybe. We'll get Mountain Dew quality.
Something like that. So, this power vacuum you just discussed could only lead to these two largest cartels gaining even more power. Is that the point?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see. Now, whether they go to war with each other or make some kind of truce, you know, we'll see how that goes. This is interesting that he was captured. Nobody has been able to capture him. He went out without a single shot being fired. So, you know, we talk about corruption and how high it goes up in the Mexican government, you know, and could this be a play for the Sinaloa cartel? We don't know, but We'll see what happens. But one thing's for certain, the amount of marijuana coming over that border will be unchanged.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And this guy that we captured, you said, is taken without a shot. I mean, I would think a guy in his position is going to go out with bodyguards and armored SUVs. I mean, they got the money to do pretty much this higher level of security than the president in some cases. So how did this transpire? How were they able to take him without even firing a shot?
It's interesting. Apparently, the U.S. government, my former agency, I was a special agent with ICE. From what I've been reading, one of our drones helped them locate him. I don't know if that was, I don't think it was operating in Mexico, but I think intelligence went out to the Mexican Marines. They had a helicopter and basically hovered over him. I'm sure it was at gunpoint. He was driving in a Chevy Silverado with two other guys. One was believed to be his accountant, and another guy was security. They had $2 million on them and 8 assault rifles. So, Whoa. You know, exactly what transpired, I don't know, but nothing, you know, no shots were fired.
Wow. And so this guy's, I guess he just goes to jail, goes to trial. Any idea what the charges are on this guy? I'm sure murder is among them.
Yeah, murder, obviously, narcotics trafficking. I was reading something yesterday that prosecutors are seeking billions from him. So I don't think he has that much money, but I think they're, you know, placing, you know, that big of a bounty on to try to be able to seize and collect all his properties. So
now, and the Mexican government cooperates with this, at least as far as we can tell.
Yeah, they are. He's in jail right now. He's been moved to northern Mexico in their main number one maximum security prison. Nobody has escaped from there. So it's unlikely that he is still running his cartel right now. He does have a younger brother. His name's Omar. He's dubbed Z42. So he's probably assumed leadership, but he doesn't have the leadership quality that his older brother had. I would like to see this guy get extradited. Out of all the ones that we've seen get taken down, you know, if we could get this guy in the U.S., you know, it would be a good thing because, you know, he's bound to possibly live a life of luxury behind bars in Mexico.
Yeah. Now let's dig into that just a little bit. Have we been able to capture and have extradited to the United States? I mean, I think of, you know, Manuel Noriega comes to mind. How much success have we had in that?
It's funny that to look at each individual case with Tijuana cartel, we've kind of hit them really hard in the 90s, early up into the 2000s. Their leaders have been extradited to the U.S. Juan Abrigo Garcia, he was actually the head of the Gulf cartel. He got, you know, taken back in the early 90s. Mexico's president was very quick to extradite him. So I think it's an individual case, you know, depending on that person's, you know, circumstances and how much money they've been divvying up on whether they're going to stay or whether they're going to ship them over here.
And all right, so now that we've got this guy and or now that they've got this guy, he's being held in the Mexican prison. You mentioned that he might live a life of luxury behind bars. Take us behind that. How is that? How does that work?
Well, we know Chapo Guzman, he escaped from prison and now he's the, you know, the reigning king in Mexico of all leaders. We know when he was in prison, he was having hookers and prostitutes come and go. You know, he lived how he wanted to in prison because he had the money to do that. And he ultimately walked away. The gates lifted up for him and he escaped in a laundry cart and was, you know, shipped out in a van. So I don't think anything to that extreme is going to happen with Trevino Morales due to the prison that he is in right now. But when high level people go in there, they definitely are treated, you know, quite a bit better than your average henchman that's out there on the streets.
You know, we've been reporting lately on the Organization of American States, President Jose Mujica down there in Uruguay calling for legalization through their parliament and such. Is any of this drug war violence sinking into Mexico's politicians that they need to do something about this prohibition, or are they still gung-ho drug warriors?
I think for right now they're still, you know, gung-ho drug warriors, and I think that's because the American government has so much influence over them. And we're kind of, like you said, we're seeing it rise from South America up into Central America, kind of meeting in the middle with Mexico, so it's going to be interesting. But I think, you know, even when it comes to Canada, the U.S. controls this whole hemisphere with this stupid drug war, so we got to end it here, and, you know, these surrounding countries around us, you know, are definitely going to follow our lead. But I definitely think it starts with us.
What about at the level of the street, though? How about the people in Mexico? Are they, I mean, they've got to be tired of, you know, bodies and blood and torture. And do they see ending prohibition as a way out of this?
I think so. You know, I, you know, was part of the Caravan for Peace with law enforcement against prohibition, was with them from Atlanta all the way up to Washington, D.C. So, I, you know, I've talked to the victims one-on-one, you know, about it, and the root cause is prohibition. There's no way to ignore that. You know, you have human trafficking, and again, we've talked about it before with things like oil theft and any type of crimes. Any organized crime is going to, you know, venture off, but it's drug trafficking. It's obviously the root, you know, of their income. So we got to get rid of that one. But I definitely think the people on the street in Mexico, you know, are ready to see regulated and legalized drugs, and especially marijuana. We got to get this one off the table, you know, immediately, and we're still stalling on it.
Yeah, and how is LEAP able to reach into Mexico? Do you have any LEAP speakers in Mexico, or are they just too afraid for their lives to speak out?
No, we sure do. I don't know the specifics on specific speakers there. I know our executive director, Neil Franklin, has been to Mexico City numerous times. So we definitely have a presence there. As far as specific membership, I'm not quite sure. I have to check into that for you.
Okay. Well, you know, anybody that knows how to get us in touch with people in Mexico that would like to help with this, God, anything we can do to route some speakers to LEAP, we appreciate what LEAP is doing and the influence that you're having here in the drug war debate. So Jamie Haas is a former Immigration Customs Enforcement and Border Patrol agent. To take you off the Mexico side of the border and put you on the U.S. side of the border, one of the things that we talk about a lot on this show is, you know, protecting your rights in the case of a police encounter for searches. And of course, we've also detailed how there is a 100 mile zone around the borders of America where Border Patrol can stop you without cause. Is that right?
I think it's 100 miles. It seems to be keep creeping and creeping in. You know, you see these checks in San Diego and things like that. At the border, you know, people, when they cross back and forth at the physical border, they have zero Fourth Amendment rights. And, you know, that now pertains to their computers, their laptops. You know, people need to be really careful about that. But that border along the southwest border and the Canadian border, it does extend to checkpoints, and the Border Patrol does set up checkpoints. I don't know the specific mileage that has changed back and forth. So people need to be really careful when they're traveling through there. Mm-hmm. Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, and obviously in the north, it's not emphasized as much in the north, but, you know, definitely people need to be careful when they're driving in the southwest.
Now, as you've been working with LEAP, how many years have you been with LEAP now?
2011. Just to correct you real quick, my title is so hard. I started as a Customs and Border Patrol officer, which is basically, it's not the equivalent of a Border Patrol agent. They wear green, we wore blue. I worked at the Port of Entry, and then I became a special agent criminal investigator with ICE. I know it's hard. I go in the, obviously do presentations for LEAP, and trying to explain this mammoth DHS, you know, is hard, but I've been with LEAP since 2011. I resigned from the government in 2011.
All right. And in the 2 years that you've been working with LEAP and making your presentations, did you ever run into anyone that you couldn't convince that prohibition was the problem?
A lot of people who aren't for it wouldn't, you know, voice their opinions too much. There was a guy in South Carolina, and I couldn't, you know, he kept talking to me, Russ, about the difference between alcohol just gets you hungover, no big deal. Marijuana users are lazy, you know, they, you know, turn into nothing, and, like, you know, that whole philosophy right there. So he was probably one of the most difficult, you know, people that I had. I've run into, yeah, but at the same token, I've run into, you know, hardcore Southern Baptist ministers who, you know, who are on board with legalizing marijuana.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. A lot of the religious community are coming around. A lot of the minority communities are coming around, and it makes a whole lot of sense. Jamie Haas with LEAP, thank you for the work you're doing and for joining us again here on the Russ Belville Show.
All right, Russ, thank you. Anytime, buddy.
All right, we'll see you again.
Okay, see ya.
When we come back, we have time for a little radical rant. We're actually going to turn the mic over to Representative Louie Gohmert of Texas. It just has to be heard to be believed. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The greatest threats to liberty has been the government taking people's liberty for things that people are in favor of. The Pew Research Group shows that 52% of Americans think marijuana should not be illegal. And yet there are people in jail, and your Justice Department's continuing to put people in jail for sale and use, on occasion, of marijuana. That's something the American public has finally caught up with. It was a cultural lag, and it's been an injustice for 40 years in this country to take people's liberty for something that was similar to alcohol. You have continued what is allowing the Mexican cartels power and the power to make money, ruin Mexico, and hurt our country by having a prohibition in the late 20th and 21st century. We saw it didn't work in this country in the 20s. We remedied it. This is the time to remedy this prohibition. And I would hope you would do.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long. You need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed.
You're too.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, so I just read the coverage of this on Raw Story, and I haven't actually seen the full video yet, but it sounded hilarious enough for me that I wanted to share it with you, and we can watch it together. But apparently Representative Louis Gohmert, who is one of the most appropriately named legislators out there, Gohmert. It's almost like Gomer Pyle. Very close, anyway. Louis Gohmert has said some pretty idiotic things on the floor of Congress, from time to time in response to many different issues out there. But today he was ranting about NSA spying. Now, this is something that I think we should all be concerned about. You know, the revelations that we've heard from Snowden and other whistleblowers that have shown the most recent one is that the NSA has been tracking 3 hops worth of metadata. Now, the idea of what a hop is, first of all, metadata is who you called, when you called, who you called, when you called, where each of you were located when you call, how long did the call last. And if you've got enough of this data, you can put together a whole big picture about someone's life, right? Well, a hop is a connection. Think of it as the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? Where this actor was in a movie with this guy, who was an actor with this guy, who was in a movie with this guy, and that connects you to, like, you know, millions of actors. The same thing exists with these NSA spying hops. Where they take my phone number and they check all the people that I've called, and then all the people they've called, and then all the people they've called. That's 3 hops. You're talking about surveillance, warrantless surveillance of millions and millions of people. So Gohmert wanted to talk about that, and I thought it'd be interesting to see what he had to say. So let's check this out from C-SPAN and Raw Story.
Made comfort. The judge, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court judge, who is a judge nominated by the United States President and confirmed by the United States Senate, thoroughly investigated by the FBI, they're the only people, when they're assigned to the FISA court, that could issue an order like this. And the law says that their order has to be with sufficient particularity. And we know from the law under the Constitution that if you want to go after specific private information about people, you have to have a warrant. And that warrant has to be based on probable cause. And the probable cause must be established by a sworn statement, and there must be sufficient specificity that we don't just have blanket orders to go get information. I know when I was an assistant DA up in Northeast Texas, we had a deputy come in one time, and it was the policy, if you want to get a warrant signed by the district judge, you need to come through the DA's office first so we can help you make sure you got probable cause, make sure there's proper specificity, and bless his heart, he was a great gentleman, older deputy, And he was always after this tiny little community in our county. He said, I know they're smoking dope out there. I just know it. I've sat out there and surveilled their house, and I haven't seen them with dope, but I know they've got it. So he came in one day, and he said, I've got them. I get a warrant now. Well, what do you got, deputy? Well, you know, our little convenience store out there in our community was broken into, and one of the things they stole was potato chips. Okay. So what does that have to do with a warrant to go after marijuana? Well, the place I've been surveilling and watching, I found out absolutely for sure they're having a party Friday night, and they're going to have potato chips there. So all I need is a warrant to go look for potato chips, and while I'm there, I'll find the dope. I said, is there anything identifiable on the potato chip packages that would allow you to determine that these were the potato chips stolen from the convenience store? He said, well, no, but those are just potato chips. Well, Deputy, I'm sorry, but that's not sufficient specificity. I mean, I've known since law school. I've known since I was a DA and the years as a judge and the Chief Justice. You got to have specificity. The Constitution requires it. And so basically that's what this provision is requiring. You got to describe with sufficient particularity that people can identify the specific items that you're demanding to be produced. I mean, that there is no specificity in an order like that. This has to stop. And I know that both sides of the aisle, this is that issue where we both have a kindred spirit. We want to protect people's liberty. But some that are so close to this issue have seen how much can be gleaned from people's complete phone records and say, look, this is really dangerous in America. I know how dangerous it is. I've been sounding the alarm for years now. And the Muslim Brotherhood has profound influence in this country and in this administration and in this government. And as we've already seen, the largest demonstration in the history of the world in Egypt, they figured it out. We don't want the radical Islamists, the Muslim Brotherhood, running our country. Well, I don't want them running ours either. But they're there. Secretary Napolitano couldn't even tell me how many Muslim Brotherhood members she had giving her advice. She didn't even know. Or at least, she said she didn't. This is a dangerous situation. We are in danger. There are people who want to take our liberty and destroy our country, but that's no reason for us to voluntarily give up all our liberty, give up all our privacy in the hope that maybe we can stop others from taking it from us. When you give up the liberty, you've given it up. We're supposed to have the government protecting us from these kind of intrusions, not demanding all the most private aspects of our life. I thought I was being rather cute when I told my colleagues across the aisle who were very concerned that the government might get more than just information about contacts with foreign terrorists. Because that's what we were told. Look, the only way we gather information about who you're calling, who's calling you, is if you make a call to a known foreign terrorist, or you get a call from a known foreign terrorist, or you make a call to a member of a known terrorist organization, or you get a call from a known member of a known terrorist organization. Well, that comforted me. So I told my friends publicly, look, you know, if you're worried about having the government gather information on who you're calling, who's calling you, then when you call your foreign terrorist friends, use somebody else's phone. And it was amusing at the time.
Yeah, that's Representative Louie Gohmert from Tyler, Texas area, comparing NSA spying to pot use. I find that to be a very, listening to him is interesting because at one moment you'll hear something come out of his mouth that's completely acceptable and rational and should be applauded. Like, We can't give away our liberty. We need to fight for our liberty. Both parties need to come together on this. We need to have specificity in our warrants. We've got a Fourth Amendment to protect us. And then, within the same paragraph or so, go off babbling about the Muslim Brotherhood running the United States of America? Are you completely off your rocker? You're daft, man. But this, the story he tells of the sheriff there having to get a specific warrant because potato chips wasn't specific enough. You couldn't just say the convenience store was robbed. Let me go check and see if you're stocked up on potato chips. Hell, they could have got them anywhere, right? But this is just goes to show how some of the sheriffs and some of the law enforcement think about marijuana use. In the lead up of that story, did you hear how Representative Gohmert talked about the sheriff saying, well, I've surveilled their house. I've spent out their time. I've been out there for time watching them. I haven't seen them with any pot, but I know they've got it. How much time are you spending surveilling this one house where people might be smoking weed when there are certainly better things for you to do? I have seen the clearance rates that are produced by the state of Texas as they are sent to the FBI's uniform crime reports. And I know you're nowhere near 100% on solving other crimes. Hell, on some of them, you're nowhere near 25% on solving the crimes. This moral indignation that some people have, and especially some people who end up in law enforcement, against marijuana smokers is harmful to our society. It's not just harmful to us, the marijuana smokers. It's harmful to our society in the diversion of police resources away from actually serving the public, being officers of the peace, making sure people aren't tagging up the neighborhood or ripping off cars or whatever else it might be, harming each other. But no, this sheriff had to spend so much time. How many hours, how many taxpayer dollars went to this sheriff to sit there in this rural Texas town in Nowhere County, Texas, bugging the judge, Gohmert was a judge back then, but bugging the judge time after time to try to get a warrant to go bust the potheads? How much court time did you waste? How much police time did you waste? How many resources did you waste on something that wasn't harming? If it was harming anybody, it was just harming the people that were doing it. And of course, we all know how little harm comes from marijuana use. But this is how it harms the rest of us. Divert those police resources, and that's someone who wasn't able to respond as quickly to another call. We had a big controversy here in Oregon where a woman called 911 trying to get help because her abusive ex was pounding on the door, trying to get himself in. He ends up beating her with a piece of metal. But 911 had to say, well, can you tell him to go away? Because there was no one there. They didn't have the resources to answer a 911 call from a woman who was being sexually and physically assaulted. Yet, there were plenty of people, plenty of law enforcement agencies, plenty of time and money to organize over 18 months a raid on medical marijuana facilities in Southern Oregon. And now to continue to spend the money to investigate and prosecute these medical marijuana dispensaries when our legislature has just passed and our governor has just signed a bill making what they were doing perfectly legal. And the only excuse I can think of as to why anyone thinks this makes any sense whatsoever is the morality of it, is that it's a moral play. Is it these people are bad and we've got to show the world how bad they were? Well, we're not going to take it anymore. It's time for us to fight back against this stuff and time for us to fight back for our Fourth Amendment. And Representative Gohmert, if you're really that concerned about the loss of liberty in America, you're really that concerned about our Fourth Amendment rights and our privacy, you need to join the marijuana majority. You need to get on board with legalization of marijuana. Nothing has been more destructive to our Fourth Amendment rights here in America than the war on drugs. Hey, folks, that's all the time we've got for today. Thanks for joining us. Coming up next, Toker Talk Radio. We got a few stories to talk about in Toker Talk Radio today. Got these marked up from earlier in the day, including another hash oil pipe bomb confusion and a review of 40 years on the war on drugs. How much has it cost us? We'll tell you when we come back. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, Take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne.
Some say the black of the belly, the sweet of the juice. I say the dark of the flesh, and